Returning briefly to God's word, Isaiah chapter 2 has already been read, and it seems so appropriate to tie together all these different aspects of mission. Yeah, it's a lovely passage, isn't it? Because if you have it open in front of you again, verse 4, it just rings a bell in all our hearts, that vision of a world without conflict. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, their spears into pruning hooks. They're not going to fight anymore. Oh, don't we want to see that? A world where there's no civil war like Syria, where marriages don't ever get into trouble, where there's no fighting there either, where there's no tension in your workplace, where you're going into tomorrow morning. No tensions there. There's no tensions amongst students or amongst the teaching staff where you're studying. A world without conflict. And yet God says it's going to happen. He's going to take us there. He's on his way. He's got his plan. He's always been intending, right from the start, to take all nations there. That's the first thing I wanted to very simply draw out of this passage. And this is just a few minutes to round off today. Do you notice this is yet another passage that shows us that God has always been concerned for all nations on earth? It's a mistake to think mission began in the New Testament, that God suddenly woke up to the fact that he hadn't done anything for the Egyptians or the Irish, because it's there. I'm just reading it off the page. Do you see it in verse 2? What proportion of the nationalities of the world is God being concerned for? What fraction of the nationalities and the ethnic groups of the world? The last phrase of verse 2, how many nations? All nations. Here we are, we're in the Old Testament, we're in Isaiah chapter 2, and God is concerned for all nations on earth. God is always being concerned for all nations. But secondly, it tells us about how God intends to get to that final result of that world at peace and without conflict, because God has always intended to use his people to attract others in. There are two movements in this passage. There's a movement inwards, and there's a movement outwards. Okay, so in verse 3, we have this interesting picture. It starts in verse 2. The mountain where the temple was being raised up higher than Mount Everest so that everyone on earth can see it. This afternoon, I took Matthew to Scrabble, where you can see that. And what a beautiful afternoon that was. The highest point locally to get the best view. And all earth looking and being attracted in. And how's God going to do it? He's going to do it between the relationship between God, the God of Jacob, God and his people, God's people being a magnet drawing in the peoples of the world, being a light on a hill, as Jesus said, a light in a dark place. Now, this is very encouraging for you in Bangor. I hope that you can see this. Because the danger with missionary Sundays is that you bring a missionary. Seems logical, doesn't it? But then I was really hoping, Freddie, to avoid football today. And they interviewed me this morning, and they put their foot right in it. After this week, I didn't want to talk about football, but let me give you a footballing analogy. We tend to have this unconscious thing, being a missionary, oh, that's right up there. That's Champions League. No. Well, if you can't be a missionary, then, well, you could be a pastor. That's not as good as Champions League, but that's Premiership. That's still right up there. That's still very high-level stuff. But being an engineer or a computer scientist or a housewife, well, God needs all those things done, but that's playing for Linfield, Freddie. That's okay, that hurt. That hurt. Do we not have that in our minds sometimes, as if God would really prefer us all to be missionaries? That's not how God sees it. We have different roles, but God has always intended to use all his people to attract others in. So if you're an engineer, how you go and talk and walk, and both those words are in the passage, how you talk and walk in your office tomorrow morning is a critical part of God's mission. And if you're a teacher, how you go in tomorrow morning and how you relate to that difficult child, and whether you go back and hand back your homeworks marked on time, and how you relate to the headmaster or the headmistress is a critical part of God's mission. And if you're a grandparent, you're going to be looking after the grandchildren tomorrow. How you relate to those grandchildren, what mark is left in their lives through their contact with you is a critical part of God's mission. It's not all about sending Carlos and Andrew Reeds to cross cultures. That too. But who we are, where we are, is a critical part of how God intends to bring about his purposes for all nations. We have a woman who started attending our church about 2 months ago, 3 months ago maybe. Now she's called Carmen, an older woman. And she just walked in off the street. She didn't know us from Adam. And she arrived a bit early, and she observed us gathering and stayed for the morning service, and immediately after the service told several of us that she was going to keep on attending this church. She doesn't know evangelical church from anything. It actually worked out. She had already decided before the service started that she was going to keep attending. Do you know why? She told us at the end, she said, "I saw here children running around like mad, and I saw older people, and I saw teenagers, and I heard Catalan being spoken, and I heard Spanish being spoken." She's Catalan speaking. "And I saw people embracing each other and shaking each other's hand and asking how the week had been." And she says, "You know, I don't know a group of people like this." And she says, "You know, I came in troubled this morning." She told us later, we didn't know. As a grandmother, she was concerned for her little grandson who was in hospital. And she says, "I came in and I was burdened and I was troubled." And she says, "I don't know what happened, but as I leave today, my spirit's at peace." And then she said this. She says, "Something remarkable happens amongst you people." Isn't that lovely? Of course, we explained to her, you know, what you sensed is not us. You sensed God's spirit. But that's what we're called to be. We're called to be a community that's attractive to others. Maybe they don't identify yet. Maybe they say, "You know, I don't believe the same thing as Hamilton Road Baptist Church, but what I do see is that they're a community who love each other and care about each other. And I wish I was part of a group like that." You know, sometimes in Northern Ireland, I think we get hung up not on the wrong things, but we make secondary things the main thing. Lonely people in Bangor, do you think tonight, you know, if they haven't had anyone to go for a walk with, and do you think they're sitting at home saying, "Oh, I wish I had a meeting to go to"? Do you think that's what they really are thinking? Are they not sitting there thinking, "I wish there was someone who cared about me"? And that's the start. It's not the end of the passage. That's the inward movement. God has always intended to use his people to attract others in, as they see that we're a community touched by God, that care about each other. But then there's the second half, because out of that inward movement comes an outward movement at the end of verse 3, "For out shall go the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem." At the end of the day, no one is saved with just a hug. We need the hugs when hard times come, and in difficult times, people need to know that we love them and care for them. If I was in Spain, I would have spent most of my time on this phrase, because Spanish churches are quite good at giving hugs. They're not quite so good at making sure the word gets out. In Northern Ireland, I think we're pretty good at getting the word out in some ways. In fact, the word is sometimes nailed to the telegraph pole as I drive past it, but it certainly doesn't give me any hugs. So I've spent my time on the other side. We need them both. Very simply from this passage, what have we seen? God is always being concerned for all nations. God has always been intending to use his people to attract others in, whether it's in Talavera, whether it's in near Barcelona in La Mella where I live, whether it's in Belfast where Pablo is, or whether it's in Bangor. And God has always intended to use his people to get the word out, because at the end of the day, what changes people's lives is hearing that it's not just someone else, another person, who loves them, but that God loves them unconditionally, to the point where he gave his son, that Jesus Christ came and died for them to demonstrate to them how much God cares, loves, and intends to transform their lives. So I'm here again to say thank you. Thank you for helping us to do that in Spain. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your financial support of the mission that enables us to be part of a community that's seeking, with God's help, to be attractive to others and is seeking to get the word out locally and then through the school to help other communities to do the same further afield. Thank you so much. And if you have any further questions, Isaac and Carla and Mervyn will answer them. So thank you.